good to be with you today. As always, the Lord's Day, and I'm indeed grateful to be part of this group, this church this morning, this gathering of people to sing praises to our Lord. This morning I want to talk about the idea of the spirit of sacrifice. If I asked you this morning, are you one that normally sacrifices? I'm not talking about a physical sense, going out and getting a goat and things of that nature, but just in life, do you consider yourself somebody that sacrifices on a daily basis? Are you willing to go without? Are you content with that? Or do you get upset? Something for you to think about as we go through this lesson. You know, an understanding of this characteristic will go a long way with us in our service for our God. Matter of fact, I will say right from the very start, if we are not a sacrificing type of person, if we don't possess that characteristic, then we're in deep danger of losing our soul. We have to be people that are content with sacrifice. And you can't help but look at the Old Testament and appreciate this characteristic in God's people. And it sums up God's people in every age as well. In order to be a child of God, we must possess the spirit of sacrifice. You know, there's a couple of verses very quickly that I want to read that help impress upon our minds how important this spirit is to be found in us. In a text that you often hear me quote and read, Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, it simply says this, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." For those of us that like just direct commands and we're not a feely-feely type person, I want us to understand this morning that as a Christian, you are commanded to possess this characteristic. That's what we find in Romans chapter 12 in verse 1. We are commanded by God, as the text reveals to us, to be a living sacrifice. I want us to also appreciate that this was shown to us in the reading this morning by Brother Mitchell. Go with me to the text in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and in verse 1 through 5. I want us to notice just a couple of things that are revealed to us in this text here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verses 1 through 5, I want to read and pause and make some emphasis on some of the sections here in this reading. "Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia," right? Remember, we've been talking the last couple of weeks and understanding, you know, first principles here, churches, but we know in other references it makes, there is one church, right? So how do we make sense of it saying churches here? These are local congregations in Macedonia, several. Kind of like what we have here, we have the Greenwood Church of Christ, we've got Southport Church of Christ, we've got Bartersville Church of Christ, all in a centrally located area, not too far apart from each other. And so when we look at that, that's what's being talked about, that this grace of God was bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia. It goes on to say in verse 2, "Then in a great trial of affliction, the abundance," catch this now, "in the great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability," what they possessed, right? But this is key. "Yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing." And then goes on to say, "imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift of fellowship of the ministering of the saints. And not only as we had hoped, but yes," here is the absolute key to it all, "but they first," as the text reveals to us, "they first gave themselves to the Lord. And because they gave themselves first to the Lord, as they looked at their brothers and sisters in need, as it reveals to us, and then to us by the will of God." It wasn't a big thing for them to sacrifice to make sure that their brothers and sisters were taken care of. They first gave themselves to the Lord. And I will say to you this morning, as we enter into this lesson this morning, that if we've not first given ourselves to the Lord, then we will not be willing to sacrifice for each other. We can hear the plea of the brethren in Moldova and other places that are struggling. Brother Nick has opened some opportunities for us, and the response has been fabulous. But I'll tell you what, if we've not first given ourselves to the Lord, then our concern for our brothers and sisters won't be where it needs to be. I hope that you appreciate that. We're commanded in Romans chapter 12. But boy, we have a lot of examples of brothers and sisters in Christ who freely gave of themselves to each other because they gave themselves to the Lord first. You know, we live in a society today that's always asking for more. And as Christians, we need to be careful where we land our feet in. We need to cultivate the spirit of sacrifice in our life. But many find that an inconvenience. What do you mean? I have to go without something in order to help my brother? I have a desire to do this on this day, but I know my brother really needs my help, or my sister really needs my help on that same day. What are we going to do? Where are we going to find ourselves? It's not anything that's pressing in our life. It's just something we want to do. But our brother or sister really needs us. What do we do in situations like that? Well, I'll be out $50 because this thing is non-refundable. But my brother's in need. Or my sister's in need. What do we do in situations like that? You know, we find ourselves as Christians singing songs like lines like this. Showers of blessings. There shall be showers of blessings. This is the promise of love. There shall be a season of refreshing sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessings. Showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops around us are falling, but for the showers we plead. You see, we as people often have our prayers filled with more. What more we desire here on this earth. And I think the Lord was very understanding of the human position and who we are and what can often tempt us. And he said to make sure that we fill our prayers. Pray with thanksgiving. How much? Always. Right? We sing songs. Less of us and more of him. But yet our life says something completely different. I want us to appreciate a few thoughts. I found this lesson interesting. I found it online. I'm going to change a few of the things here. But I found this very interesting and very telling of not only myself, but we as a people of God at times in our life. You see, when we study the history of God's people in prosperous times, it's very sobering. Because usually the reality of God's people when they were in blessings, and as the song reveals to us, mercy drops around us are falling. The idea that the blessings from God are flowing down freely upon God's people. And when they were often most prosperous, what was the characteristic that summed them up? Where did that prosperity often lead them? What often was the consequence of thriving and being in this prosperous state? Well, I think all of us understand and know. Most of the time, they left God. They went their own direction, seeking their own things. They chose the life of ease, the life of idolatry, instead of service to God. And I'm fearful that we today, we talk about our struggles, our hardships. Let me ask you a question. What was the last time you went without a meal? When was the last time you can honestly say you didn't have enough money to pay for food and you went without a meal? We have grocery stores that are full of everything. Chocolate-covered Twinkies. Who in the world needs a chocolate-covered Twinkie? But it's there. Anything we want, we can run down to the store and purchase it and buy it. We are not in a time of need today. We're in a time of prosperity, great prosperity. And we as the people of God need to realize that. And so when we study the Old Testament and see what happens to God's people in times of prosperity, it too can happen to us. We can turn from God. Say we're serving Him, but live a different lifestyle. Say we are truly living a life of sacrifice. I dare say that many of us, we challenge ourselves, we really don't sacrifice a whole lot for the work of God. That needs to change in our lives. And I hope this lesson will encourage you to realize some of the things that we can improve on as God's people. When you study the Old Testament, you begin to realize very quickly that this spirit of sacrifice was very much alive and present with God's people. In Hebrews chapter 11, turn over there with me. Hebrews chapter 11, we'll read a couple of verses from there and press on. But I want to talk about Abraham to begin with. You notice the slide here. This is a much different slide. I had the Lewis girls over last night, and I asked Heather, I said, come over and look at this slide. And I had a first slide that was much different to this, and all the girls piled around the screen and said, yeah, that's too creepy. And so I had to change it to this, and so I thank them for their help in my PowerPoints this morning. But that PowerPoint summed up Abraham, right? We know who he was. We know what he did. We know about the stories of his service to God and his steadfastness towards what God had revealed to him. We can read that. But I think sometimes we look at what's before us without emotion, without feeling, without really realizing, putting ourselves in the shoes of these people that live this sacrificial lifestyle. Think for just a moment. In Hebrews chapter 11 and in verses 8 through 10, it says this, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out of the place which he would receive as an inheritance and went out, not knowing where he was going. Think about that for just a moment. When was the last time you picked up all your belongings and you headed in a direction you did not know where you were going? Didn't know where you were going to end up. For most of us, when we move, we sell our house that we've been blessed to have, line up another house to purchase, and move from one house to the next house. And if we're not that fortunate, at least when we move from one area to the next, we've got family there that we can stay with. Think for just a moment, even before we get to the big things that we think about when we think about Abraham, think about how difficult that would be for you in your life, the uncertainty of it all. You see, that's looking through human eyes. But for him, it was certain. God told him to go and he went. It was certain to him. God would provide. Goes on to say in verse 9, by faith he dwelt in the land of promise in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him of the same promise. I think for just a second as we think on some of these principles, as verse 10 opens up, and we'll close out with this verse. For he waited for that city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. You see, looking through and beyond this world to the next will really help us have this sacrificial type of life that we live here on this side of eternity. Trusting in God, first giving ourselves completely to our Lord. When we look at this text in Hebrews chapter 11 and verses 8 through 10, it teaches us that that's exactly what Abraham did. Gave himself first to the Lord. Complete trust, complete obedience. Like the lesson we talked about this morning. Having trust, but also having obedience. And having a balance there. God promises this, and we do this. And then we get to what's recorded to us in Genesis chapter 22. Now, I don't want to get emotional on us this morning. I'm not usually an emotional guy when I get up and preach. But to think for just a second that I was called upon to offer my son, at this time, my only son, and to think how hard this would be. Some time ago, one of the little kids in this group, I won't call her out because I don't want to embarrass her, but she gave me a sheet of paper and she said, Neil, here's a sermon. Here's a sermon, preach it. So we're going to do a little of that this morning. In Genesis chapter 22, beginning in verse 1, it says this, now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham. And it goes on to say this, and he said to him, Abraham, and he said, here am I. You know, that's what you appreciate about him. He's ready to do God's will. God calls upon him and he's ready to move, right? Our brothers and our sisters call upon us. Are we ready to move? Are we ready to sacrifice what we want, our plans, and do what God wants us to do? I can't help but think between the lines here. Do you think he had maybe had plans for that day? I don't know, but I'm sure in this day and time, things were planned. There was farming to do. There was things to do. There was probably a plan that was put in place. Kind of like what we do every morning. We wake up in the morning, we comb our hair, brush our teeth, and then we've got plans. We've got work, we've got this, we've got that. Our day is usually planned out weeks in advance. We're ready. We've got a plan. But you see, one thing that we don't often think about is here God speaks to Abraham and he said, "Here am I." And what he's saying is, "I'm ready. Whatever you want me to do, you ask me, I'm ready to do it. I'm willing to sacrifice what I want to serve you because you are first in my life." Then the rubber meets the road. Then he said, "Take now your son," not an animal, but your son, your only son, "whom you love." See, God's been watching this situation. I think sometimes as we live our lives, the trials we go through, the plans that we make, the successes we have, well, God's in and out of our life. No, he's watching. He's a constant in our life. And we get that. God is seeing what's going on. He knows about the love. And he says this, "whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." Now read between the lines. How hard would that be? You see, we often jump to the end result. And we think, okay, an angel came, told him, don't do it. You know, don't kill your only son. There's a different way. A different sacrifice will be offered. And we're automatically there. You're probably thinking that right now because I just said, you're already at the end. But we forget about the journey. He's here. He's been told. He's been called upon. I'm here. I'm ready. Then he's been given this great task. And verse 3 tells us what? "So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and rose and went to the place of which God told him." I got to believe with each swing of the axe, he was thinking about what he was splitting this wood for. Now, we don't read of tears. We don't read of emotions. But what we do read of, he's called upon. He's ready to do what God tells him because he's first given his heart to the Lord. We know he has an obedient spirit and we know he has faith. And we'll look at that in just a moment further in the text here. But he is ready and willing and committed to do God's work. Think about the sacrifice that would be. His only son, dead at his hands. Offered as a sacrifice. Think about how hard that would be. I think sometimes we think throwing $50 in the collection plate on Sunday morning is a sacrifice to us. Is that really a sacrifice? Be honest with yourselves. How much did you spend on meals out this past week? Is $50 really a sacrifice for you? And this is not a plea for you to put more in the collection plate because we're going to move beyond that. I think sometimes when we think about sacrifice, our mind automatically goes towards money. But when we think about sacrifice, it's more than just money. He's not offering money here. But I think all of us can understand this is a huge sacrifice for him. I have two sons, not one, not an only son, but two sons. And to think that my life would consist with one of them not being here because I'm going to offer him as a sacrifice, that is a sacrifice. I'm going without. $50 in the collection plate, are you really going without anything? We convince ourselves when we do that, but we're really not going without anything. Think about how much money you spend on meals in a week and then give yourself, put that in the collection plate next week so you don't have any money to go out. See what a sacrifice is like. You see, he's offering his son. His son's gone. He's no longer here. This is a complete sacrifice. And I want us to understand and appreciate something. Because of his sacrificial spirit that he possessed because he first gave himself to the Lord, he had faith in the Lord and obedience to the Lord, God blessed him. Blessed him in a tremendous way. Look at Genesis chapter 22 in verses 16 through 18. Actually, let's begin in verse 15. "Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, 'By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing,'" catch that, "because you have done this thing," not just because you've had faith, not because you just, Abraham, here I am. Not just because you had faith, but notice what it says here. "Because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing, I will bless you. And multiply, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven as the sands which are on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemies. And here it is, this wonderful promise made by God. And in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. Like what was said this morning, I can't help but think if the opposite was done. What if God called Abraham and he said, "Here I am." And God tells him, "You go offer your only son." And he leaves his son at home and takes a goat. How do you think that would turn out? I don't know. But I do know, because he had the sacrificial spirit, because he was willing to go without, God blessed him immensely. And we're blessed because of it. What about the Jewish age? We think of Moses in Hebrews chapter 11 and verses 23 through 27. In that time period, we think about what Moses went without. Think about all the blessings he would have had. And he turned his back on all of it. You know, I one thing I've always wanted to have in my life is a hot tub. I don't know why. I guess I convinced myself that is the... If you reach hot tub status, boy, you're really making something in this world. I don't know why. I've just always wanted that. I've not had it. And it's a sacrifice, right? No, it's not a sacrifice. But see, we convince ourselves that if we don't have something, boy, we're really doing without. No, think about how much God has blessed you and how much you have now. I think about Moses in Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 23, where it says this for us. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months from his parents because they saw that he was a beautiful child and they were afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. He looked to the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. I think most of us understand and appreciate Moses, when in that family, had anything he desired. Hot tub, the fanciest chariots, whatever you can muster up in your mind in that day and time that would be the cream of the crop, that's what he had at his fingertips. And he gave it up. Now, we run through this time and time again, almost like we forget the emotions and the struggles and the anguish that would have went with this. To have everything and to have it all be taken away. I listened to Dave Ramsey, and one of the things he talks about is he was wealthy, then he lost it all, and how awful that was. I dare say we could go around the room, and none of us are worse off now than when we began. When you first went out on your own, you're in a far better place now, financially, material, whatever it is, you are in a better place. You've been blessed. Think about having all that thrust away from you. Not because of a mistake, not because of someone else's choice and decisions, bad decisions, and that's what happened. No, because you choose to walk away from it. Think about that for just a second. That's what Moses did. He chose to walk away from all of it. And we look at him like some superhero. Like he wouldn't have been touched. He wouldn't have been affected by this. You know he had to be affected by this. He lived in the most prosperous nation as the son of the most prosperous man. And he sacrificed it all to serve his God. And God blessed him. What's Revelation chapter 15? In verse 3 teach us, they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, the song of the Lamb, saying, "Great and marvelous are your works, Lord Almighty." Think about that for just a second. We know with Abraham there were great blessings that followed because of his sacrificial spirit. We know as we look at scriptures, I don't know what that all entails in Revelation chapter 15 and verse 3, but I do know, boy, that's a blessing. And I think about how he was blessed on this earth, but even far greater after this life. Think about the gospel age and think about Paul and the struggles that Paul went through. What a wonderful example for us. We know who Paul was. He was highly educated, taught by Gamaliel, one of the most prestigious rabbis among the Jews at that time. He was set up to be a great political leader, a national hero, somebody that would be a great and influential leader. And riches would follow. But he gave it up. Philippians chapter 3 teach us he counted it all as rubbish, as garbage, or as dung. Brethren, this is a spirit that we need to have. The spirit of sacrifice. I'm going to close very quickly with these last couple of slides. If you're taking notes, again, get a writing, because we're going to skim through these slides pretty quick. But the spirit of sacrifice is a primary requirement for the followers of Christ. I really want to hit this home. We can look at Bible characters in the Old Testament and the New Testament. But it really hits home when we have to put ourselves in their shoes. And we really need to do that. I think prosperity is affecting us as God's people today. And we need to understand that this sacrificial spirit is a must in order to serve God. To properly follow Jesus, it requires sacrifice. Of your times, of your funds, of your efforts, your energy, everything. What entails you? I like, and this is probably the last verse we read, I really like what this text teaches us in the book of Luke. Turn with me over there for just a moment. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 57. We're going to read a couple of verses here. And it happened as they journeyed on the road. Luke chapter 9 and verse 57, that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Notice verse 59. And he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go bury my father. Emotional time for this individual? Sure. Think about the people you've lost. Think about losing your father, how challenging that would be. What would be on your mind? What would be your focus in this time of distress in your life? And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead. You go preach the kingdom of God. Boy, that seems harsh, doesn't it, Greg? I've just lost my father. And you want me to forsake that? Give me a few hours. Let me take care of this situation. Then I'll do what you want of me. You see, often that's how we are as Christians, isn't it? Lord, I know you want me to do this, but I have to do this first. And we go do that, and then we get over to this. Another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid farewell who are at my house. And Jesus said, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Boy, that seems rough, doesn't it? I just want to go say bye. Do you see what we go through? We can see ourselves in this. Let me just go say bye. Let me go give a hug and a kiss. I love these people. I raised it. These are my people. Let me go say bye. In verses 57 through 58, you may not have a bed in which to sleep. The animals might be better off than you are in your life in serving God. While it's not wrong for us to pay our last respect to our family members, if one had to make a choice, what would you choose? Is the one who looks back really committed? These are all biblical ideas and thoughts that we need to think on and meditate upon. Are we really willing to live a sacrificial life like Abraham did? Or are we more like Lot's wife, looking back after being told not to look back? Do we really have the sacrificial characteristic that we find in those in the Scriptures? I want us to run just through a couple of these very quickly, and I want you to think about them this morning as you leave this next week, as you do what you're doing in your life situation. Do you really have it? Can we if I asked you, do you have the sacrificial lifestyle today? I'm sure that all of us would say yes. I hope you would say yes, because it's needed. We've already proved that. You must have that in order to be part of God's family, to have the hope of heaven. We all need to have that. So asking that now, I'm sure all of us would say yes. But do you really have it? When you miss services of God's people for reasons that demonstrate apathy. You miss services and the elders call and ask, we missed you this morning. And you say, yeah, I just wasn't feeling right today. Decide to stay home. What does that say? You miss services because there's a favorite TV program that's on. A family reunion. Something that's not work-related. We even struggle with that. But can we truly say we're living the sacrificial lifestyle when the reasons for us missing demonstrate apathy, not necessarily to our brothers and sisters in Christ, but to God? Can we confidently say that? When you give God the leftovers, I have to read this. I found a line that I thought was really telling, and I'll try to look at this, but it was some of the things that old preachers, here we go. Old preachers used to say that many people give to the Lord like they were feeding the dog. And what they're saying is, I started thinking about this. We recently had some steaks because they were on sale. I know what I didn't do was throw that steak out on the back porch for my dog, Bella. You know what she got? The leftovers, the bone. Pieces of little scraps. That's what she got. She didn't get the best. And I think when we think about Bible characters like Abraham, Paul, some of the other ones we've talked about, Ruth, all these great Bible characters, both men and women, they gave first to the Lord, not the leftovers. And I think sometimes as Christians, we're tempted to give the leftovers, and we can't. Can we confidently say that we have it, that we have the sacrificial lifestyle when we're constantly giving God the leftovers? How much are you going to make this next week? Let's go back to the funds just to demonstrate that. What is your salary this week if you work? What's the first thing that comes out of that salary for that week? What's on your mind? That first thing, that first deposit out of that monies that you will receive in that week, what's the first thing that comes out? That's one of the telltales if we're living that sacrificial lifestyle. When you wake up in the morning, what's the first thing on your mind? Is it God? Is it about reaching those that are lost? Or is it about what you're going to eat for breakfast and what you're going to eat for lunch and who you're going to see during the day? What is the first thing on your mind when you wake up? What's the last thing that's on your mind when you go to bed at night? What's the last thing that you're thinking about on Saturday night? You see, these are all things that help us understand if we are giving God the leftovers. What about if we refuse to use our talents? I've talked a lot about this in the last year. What if we have a talent and an ability? I'm not talking about funds now. A talent and ability to do something to serve the Lord. I'm not necessarily talking about preaching or leading songs or any other things like that. But you have a home and you can set up a Bible study. You have a talent, you have an ability, but you throw a blanket over it. Can you truly say that you have the sacrificial lifestyle? Your talent might not be as good as what it was years ago, but you still have a talent, you still have an ability, and you need to use it. And if we're not, can we confidently say we're serving Him? I got it in small letters, and I apologize for that, but it simply says, I wish we would all excel more and more in the spirit of sacrifice demanded by the Lord and seen in God's people. All of us need to be willing to live the life of sacrifice. I can sit up and say you have to, you should, but if it doesn't come down to you and a willingness to do this, then it's really all pointless, isn't it? Abraham willingly went to offer his son as a sacrifice. And look what happened. Moses willingly turned his back on Egypt. And look what happened. Paul willingly turned his back. And look what happened to him. And I'll tell you, we've saved the greatest for last. What about our Lord? Left the glories of the Father. You know, we often talk about his sacrifice was hanging on the cross. You know, his first, we might ask, what do you think the first struggle Jesus had? What do you think the first sacrifice that Jesus made? We often think about the earth. spitting of the people turning their backs. And those are all bad. Hanging on the cross. The first sacrifice he left was leaving the side of the Father to come to this earth. And he did that. Why? Miss Delma, he did it for you. He did it for you, Mitchell. And he calls upon us to live with the same sacrificial lifestyle that he did. He washed the feet of the disciples. He was willing to serve. He came to seek and serve. And he calls us to do the same. Brethren, we got to quit looking to be served and start getting busy doing what God has called us to do. If you're here this morning and not a child of God, why not become one? Why not place your life in God's hands, submit to him, give yourself to him wholly and completely this morning? We looked at the slide already. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. Be willing to give and turn your back. Give your life to him and turn your back on everything on this earth. And serve him completely with your whole mind, your whole heart. And let him have his way with you. Have faith in his promises. If you want to be baptized this morning, we'll help you with that. And if you're here and you're Christian, you've not been living with a sacrificial spirit, won't you ask him for forgiveness? That's the wonderful thing about our Father. He's ready and willing to forgive if we but ask. So do that. If we can help you in any way, won't you come to the front while we stand, while we sing.